Good morning. Good morning, people of God. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning. It's wonderful to see you this morning. We praise God for you. I'm Pastor Roy Carter from the New Life Christian Fellowship Church, located at 1529 North Wisconsin Street here in the city of Racine, Wisconsin, 53402. Our telephone number, 262-417-7363. As we've stated in the past, because of the coronavirus and all that has entailed with that virus, we are not presently meeting in this sanctuary, but we as a body of believers, people who love the Lord Jesus, we continue to gather together. We meet here on Sunday mornings that we might share a word of the Lord with you. We continue to reach out and love each other with the love of Jesus. The love of the Lord carries us a long way. It helps us to get through dark days. It helps us to get through lonely times. You know, with the pandemic here, we're encouraged to practice social distancing. And for many, that means being isolated and away. You know, I hear people saying, I agree, we're used to hugging and you know, touching and all that stuff. Well, with the social distancing, it's not a good idea. The love that we share with each other in our community as New Life Christian Fellowship, we reach out that we might love each other, and we love you as well. So we welcome you this morning. God bless you. Good morning. Continue to come on in. Make sure you reach out and share. Tag this to somebody else. You know, get somebody else in on this that they too might share the love of Jesus this morning. We come to just share with you a word of the Lord that will help us to carry us through. Now, before I start, a routine word, but it's still so, it's important today, or maybe more so important than it was the first time I said it. People, we've got to be careful to practice our health initiatives. Make sure you continue to sanitize, get that mask on every time you leave the house. Practice your social distancing. We've got to do these things that we might continue. Many people that feel like it's not such a serious matter. It's still serious. People are still dying. People are sending your financial support to our church. You can give, as you see there in the tagline up at the top there. You can give using the Givelify app. Look up New Life Christian Fellowship Church. You can give. Go to our website, nlracine.org, and at the bottom, you will see the donate button. You can click on there. We still get a few people that will mail a check in. However you need to do it, we want to say thank you and encourage you to send in your financial support that the work of ministry might continue on. Now, we are entering, you know, it's Christmas time, and I love Christmas time. A lot of people allow issues to take away from the enjoyment of this time. I don't. People want to argue about what day was Jesus born. To me, it don't matter. I'm thankful that he was born. And the fact that he was born, that works for me. And another issue that comes up that people dispute and disagree about is the whole issue of the wise men. And that's kind of where we want to look at today. We want to talk about the wise men. And we want to just talk from a subject that says, wise enough. Wise enough. And our little subtitle there says, wise enough to seek him. Wise enough. Now, you know, when we talk about being wise, none of us, I don't think any of you all that are viewing on here, that are listening to me, that none of us think of ourselves as dumb, stupid. You know, we may not have had a million degrees. Some of us never finished college or whatever sort of thing. But we think of ourselves as being wise. And when we talk about being wise, that suggests that ability, that capability that we possess to be able to discern, to understand, to know, to figure out, to judge properly concerning what is right and what is true. And then thus we act accordingly. I think all of us like to think we're wise. We're wise. And we like to believe that. We want to explore that this morning from just a story in our scripture that talks about the wise men, better known as the Magi, the, you know, three kings from Orient Eye. You know the song, Old Star, Wonder Star of Light. We want to talk about that this morning. So we want to go to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. It shares with us the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to be reading from the New International Version. If you'll just listen along, follow along. Matthew chapter 2. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of Herod the king, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures, presented to him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country another way. We read in your hearing from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 down to verse number 12. We encourage you, read that entire chapter. Read the whole story. You know, throughout this Christmas season, as we prepare for the birth of Jesus Christ, that day that we celebrated on December, read through the story. Read it in Luke. Read it in Matthew. And you will see just so many different insights that will help you to get through the day. We find that when we talk about the wise men, you know, they're like I said earlier, there's some things that are disputed, but they're unimportant. Does it matter how many of them there was? People want to argue about, was it three wise men or was it more than three? Well, there was the three was suggested because there were the three gifts that were named and the presumption that each one of them brought one. But, you know, there could have been a bunch of them bringing, you know, usually when people travel, they travel with an entourage. These men were learned men. They were royal men. They were important people. So they had a group with them more than likely. But there's some lessons to be learned from the wise men. And we want to look at those lessons this morning from the wise men. Remember, we're talking about wise, that ability to be able to discern and properly judge some things of truth. So we'll know how to act. So we will do what we need to do. The first thing that these wise men did, the scripture lets us know that they began to seek after the Christ child. They began to seek after the Messiah. They began to look for the Messiah. They began to look for him. The star appeared in the sky. The star appeared. And because they were learned men, they studied astrology. They studied the sciences. They knew, based on foretold scriptures, that this star would appear that would denote that the Savior has been born. How much do we study of God's word? That we might know what is true. That we might know what God has said. Notice how many times people will listen to what somebody said and take it as the gospel truth. They will take it as though it came straight from the lips of the Lord when it didn't. And it might sound good, but is it what the Lord has said? When we talk about seeking after the Lord, that's an important thing that all of us should strive to do. All of us should strive to seek after the Lord. First Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 11 points out, it says, seek after the Lord and his strength and his faith continually. This was instruction that David gave to the children of Israel as they were walking into the land. They were taking back the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. You want God's presence to be around you? Seek after him. Seek after him. Look for him. And you'll find that when you seek after God, I often say, he don't play games with us. It ain't like the game. Remember the game hide and go seek, where you look and then, you know, the person, you know, they cover their eyes and everybody runs and hides somewhere. God is not hiding from us, but he wants us to look for him, knowing that as we look for him, we shall find him. There's a real important scripture in Matthew chapter 6, and you go down to verse number 33, real important to believers everywhere. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things. What other things? It lists right before that verse a whole bunch of things that I like to talk about as the necessities of life. We need the necessities of life. We need a warm house to live in. We need shelter over our head. We need food to eat. We need all of these sorts of things. And a lot of times we feel like we're going without them. We feel like there is a lack, there is a need. Well, I submit to you, how much are you seeking after God? Remember, we're talking about being wise. These wise men found themselves seeking after the Lord. The star had appeared and they set on their way to seek, to look for, to hunt for him. There's some things we need to notice. They sought after Jesus despite the difficulties of the journey, It wasn't like they just walked next door. They had to put in some work. They had to pack their bags. And now they didn't travel like we travel. You know, like there have been times that I've traveled and, you know, a friend will call and say, let's go do this or go do that. I go in my bedroom, throw some clothes in a bag, throw my bag in the car. Let's go. We ready to roll. No, they had to pack their stuff. And remember, they traveled by camel, which could not have been so comfortable. You up there bopping up and down over rough terrain. They did it. They left their familiar surroundings. They left the people that were familiar to them around that they might go and make this journey to find out where the child was, that they too might come to worship him. And then they did it despite what anybody else had to say about it. Then you remember, you know, the verse makes mention, they went to where Herod was and said, we've seen his star and he's where he at. Think about this. If they went to where Jesus was born and the people around there didn't even know nothing about it, a lot of times people that are around us have no interest in seeking after God, have no interest in seeking after his will, in living for him and doing what he wants. It ought to be important enough to you that you do it despite what anybody else does, despite what anybody else says. Why? Because it's important to me. I see the benefit of it for me. I see the benefit of it for my spiritual being. So I'm going to seek after him. Not only did they seek after him despite the difficulties that were involved, they sought after him despite the disinterest of other people around them. They went on and did what they needed to do that they might find where Jesus is, that they might come and worship him, celebrate him. And then they sought after him despite that those personal disappointments that might have come their way. Everything didn't work out in their way. Everything, you know, just look at the dynamics of traveling that far, not really knowing where you're going, this star apparently appearing and then fading out, because it makes mention about the star reappearing in front of them. So the star, it wasn't like boop, it's there, and it just stayed there until they got there. It reappeared. So they had to go through some disappointments. Like, where is it at? Where's it going? We don't know. We don't see it, but let's just keep going. Let's keep asking. Let's go this way. Let's do that. Let's do what we need to do that we might find Jesus. Do what we need to do that we might find Jesus. This is what the wise men did. Now, I'm talking about being wise. If you're not wise and you have no desire to be wise, you do whatever you do, which quite often is nothing. Ever see somebody? Now, I ain't talking about nobody. So if this is you, don't send me no note later and say, Pastor, why was you getting all in my stuff? I'm just talking. Y'all know I love you. I'm just talking. You ever see somebody getting ready to move and they tell you, I'm moving. I got a new place. I got to be out on the first. And they got 3 or 4 weeks. And now it's the day that they got to move. And they are hitting you up in panic because they didn't prepare. They ain't got no boxes. They ain't packed nothing up and everything. And now they're mad at the landlord who said, you need to get out. You need to be out. And they're upset and they feel this undue pressure. That comes about because you didn't do what you know that you already needed to do before time, that you might be prepared. Many of us consider ourselves wise, but we're not doing anything that we need to do that we might seek after Jesus. The one, remember, scripture makes mention, he comes to save his people from their sins. He comes that he might be life to us. He comes that he is the door and he will lead us into the way that we need to go. But we've got to seek after him. When the last time you just picked up your Bible, which is the story, if you will, of Jesus and how Jesus lived. When the last time you just picked it up and said, I'm just going to read for a while and read to see how Jesus handled some things. And then I will work to duplicate, imitate what I see Jesus do. Or do you just sit back and talk about, well, yeah, I know I should, but didn't never do it. Can you imagine what it would be like if, you know, people go to the grocery store out of anticipation of being hungry, and so you cook food and, you know, feed and nourish yourself. Can you imagine what it would be if you never did anything to prepare? You never went to the store. You sitting up there and eating up every day. Pretty soon that box of cereal gonna get empty. And now what you gonna do because you didn't get another box? Wise men. I'm talking about wise people. So they go on and they seek after Jesus. Let's stop for a minute and look at some contrast here. These learned, intelligent, smart, rich, royal people sought after the Lord. They looked for him. On the flip side, our scripture here talks about Herod the king. Herod, who was in charge of stuff on a local level there, he was in charge of government stuff there. He didn't feel the need to do all of that. He possessed a sense of arrogance and pride. He was such a nature that history kind of says he killed off some of his family members just because he was who he was, and I'm going to be in charge. And now here the word comes to the wise men that Jesus the Messiah has been born. And the scripture says they set out to seek after him, to find him, that they might worship him. Herod, on the other hand, he calls together all his religious leaders, the folks who talked a good talk, the folks who wanted everybody to know that they were religious but didn't live in any sort of way. And all they could do was search for the scriptures and say where he was, but there was no excitement to go find him, no excitement to go worship him, no excitement to rejoice about the fact that a Savior has been born. Rather, Herod set out to figure out where is he at, that he might go and kill him. No interest. You don't want to be like that. Instead, you want to find yourself seeking after him, the Messiah, that you too might share in the things that the Lord has for you. Do you know that God has things through his son Jesus Christ for you? He sent Jesus that he might save us from our sins. And a lot of times the distress that we go through in this life is because of our sins. people nowadays do what they want to do. We do what we're big enough to do. And we feel like, well, I got away with it and nothing happened, so it has to be okay. No, God still has an order. God still has a way. And we still got to live according to what God says. And many of us are trying to struggle to live this life by ourselves. It takes a savior. You know that song he used to be saying, in times like these, we need a savior. Somebody who can help us to do what we can't do by ourselves. Now, not only did the wise men go forth in seeking after him, but they were wise enough to seek after him to worship him. To worship him. Verse number 2 more times. They said, we come to worship him. To worship him. When we talk about worshiping him, we as believers are admonished to worship the Lord. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, the story is told of Jesus when the devil himself comes to Jesus and tries to tempt Jesus to do something wrong. Jesus points out to the devil that the scriptures say, you worship God and him only do you worship. He's the only one that we are to worship. In Psalm, David points out in Psalm 95 and verse number 6, we worship him. We worship him. Why? Because he is our Lord and he is our maker. We worship him. We worship him. And over in Hebrews, it points out a very key thing. As believers, when we have come to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and Jesus begins to make our way livable, he provides us with an abundant life. He gives us a joy and a peace that surpasses all understanding. It makes mention in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 28. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God, accepting with reverence and awe. You want to worship God. I see folk that had a nerve to want to get mad at God. You don't get mad at him. God's a big boy. He can handle you getting mad at him. But you don't ever want to stop worshiping him. You don't ever want to keep him, stop keeping him in the respectful place that he rightfully deserves. And so you honor him and adore him just because he's God. He's God. And it don't matter whether you believe or not, he's still God. He is. And so these wise men were wise enough to seek him that they might worship him. That they might worship him. They went out and they, based on their actions, they sought after what God had for them by faith, that they might come to worship the King, the Christ child. And they wanted him. Why would they want to worship him? They recognized that he was a savior, a Messiah. And they wanted to come that they might worship him and honor him as such. And they gave their gifts to him, bowed down to him to honor him. Look at what they gave him. There's some symbolism in what they gave him. They gave him gold. And gold has been always one of the most precious metals known to mankind. You know, they say when it comes to money, monies of different governments, the money can fail. It can become valueless. It can become totally worthless. But gold always maintains its value. And it always has. It's a symbol of royalty. So they give their gifts of gold to Christ the King in recognition of him being the King of our lives. Have you come to worship him and understand that he is the King? And so when you recognize that he's the King, you treat him like he's the King. You make him the most important thing in your life. You give him all the honor that he is due and you live it. That's most important, people of God. You live it. It does no good at all to talk, to just say he's the King of my life, to just say he's the head of my life, to just say he's in charge, but never live it. never honor him in your living. They worshiped him. They honored him with gold. Gold representing also that, you know, when the ancient priests entered into the holy place of God, into the holy sanctuary, it was covered, laid, in the scripture says, with gold. It was that reminder that we should give our first and our best to God. Don't give God your leftovers. Don't give him whatever. Don't give him, well, if I feel like it. No. Give him the best that you have. They also gave, in addition to gold, they gave him frankincense. Frankincense is recognizing that right to be worshiped. It was used in temple worship. They were using a key element in worshiping he who is holy, Jesus Christ. They would offer, back in those days, they would offer burnt sacrifices. They would light some things, and the smell would go up to God in heaven. And the scripture would make mention about it being a pleasing aroma in God's nostrils. They used incense that it might represent the presence of God, that he was with them. And then they also gave him myrrh. They gave him gold. They gave him frankincense. And then they come along and they give him myrrh. And myrrh is that aromatic spice that was often used in embalming. And it's been noted that they kind of foretold that this Messiah would die a horrible death. And this was symbolic of his crucifixion and the sacrifice that Jesus was going to make for mankind. Now, whether they fully understood what they were giving as gifts, they gave what their intellect, what their knowledge, what their wisdom told them this Christ child, the Messiah, deserved. Are you giving the Lord what he deserves out of your life? He expects what we have, that we give what we have out of our lives to him. Some people will compare and I say, well, I don't have this or I don't have that. I don't have money like somebody else has. I don't have this. Give out of what you have, of your time, of your talents, your abilities, your skills, out of your money. Give what you have to the Lord, what you have. He never compares what you have based on what somebody else has. Give your best to the Lord, your best. Give him some of your time. Think about it. Some people, the only time they give to the Lord is when they're in trouble, when they're in danger, and now they can pray loud and long. The Lord ain't heard from them since the last time they was in trouble. No, you want to give him all of the best that you have and do it on a routine basis, giving to the Lord. So now these wise men, they came along. We're talking about wise. They were wise enough to seek after him. They were wise enough to worship him. And then verse number 12 points out, it says, after seeing the Christ child, it says, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. They were wise enough to be submissive to what God says. To be submissive to what God says. To do the things that God says. Be submissive. When we talk about being submissive, you know, James points out in the book of James in the Bible, it points out in chapter 4 and verse number 7, a very interesting thing. Many people are bothered, plagued, troubled by the devil. The first thing he tells us in getting rid of the devil's control in our lives, he says, submit yourselves then to God. Submit. Become submissive to God. Then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Why the devil ain't fleeing from you? Why the devil ain't leaving you alone? Because you won't submit to God. I'm just saying, don't hate me. You got to learn how to submit to God. And to submit to God is to become like Jesus. There's a very interesting illustration that's given concerning submission. Remember when Jesus knew from the day he got here that he's come to become the savior of the world, that he is going to be crucified on Calvary's cross. die, be separated from God the Father. But when it got down to that last moment before they came and arrested him and then started that process of events that led to his crucifixion, Jesus is found in the garden praying. And notice what he's saying. The scripture makes mention in Matthew chapter 26. He's praying and he's going, Lord, God, Father, if there's any other way we can work this thing out, we can make salvation come about for mankind. If there's any other way, I wish you would do it. And then he goes on to say, but, King James said, nevertheless. I always say, but says it erases everything else that was said before that. And Jesus is saying, but God, if this is what you want, your will be done. How many times are you willing to say, Lord, your will be done? I submit to you. And sadly, what we do is we do things the way we want to do them. Whether they honor God or not, whether they're within his will or not. I've never seen so many people as we see in today. And we know the scripture tells us that these are the last days. Old people say the last and evil days. People do stuff the way they want to do it. And if it don't match up with God's, what God has said, they excuse themselves from it in all kinds of ways. I just want to submit to you this morning. If you don't hear nothing else I say, hear this. You can live however you choose to live. You know that song, Israel? And you can do whatever you like. You can do whatever you like. But there are consequences to be paid for whatever you choose to do. And when you choose to not be submitted to the will of God, you open yourselves up for eternal damnation. Eternal damnation. When I think about eternal damnation, some people say, what is eternal damnation? Going to hell. When I think about going to hell and the fact that it's eternal, it ain't just something that's going to happen in a day it's over. Well, you know, I've seen people that they get sent to some jail time and they say, oh, I'll knock that out. That ain't nothing. I could do that standing on my head. I dare you to feel like you could do eternity standing on your head. There's nothing that we have read about eternal damnation, about hell, that is pleasant. Nothing. Nothing. But when we don't submit to the will of God, when we decide to do things the way we want them to do, we open ourselves up to that punishment based on what we chose to do. Sometimes God will call us to live in a way, to do some things that are unfamiliar. Sometimes they're not convenient. Sometimes it goes against what we have ever known. It will cause us to, quote unquote, move around and do something different, even as these wise men did. But remember, we're talking about being wise, being able to discern and understand and judge what is the best thing that needs to be done and then act accordingly. What we decide in living for the Lord and seeking after him, it may even be costly. But look at what am I giving up versus what I'm gaining. I got a couple of relatives that are in my immediate family that are entrepreneurs. They own their own businesses and stuff. And they was from time to time talk about the grind that they have to do and how they give up their personal time that they might hustle out this money, that they might work to do what they need to do, understanding that the end result will be I got the bag. Well, what about us in our spiritual lives? What about us in our soul salvation? What about us in our living to please the Lord? There are times when it may cost us, but what we're giving up, if that's how you want to view it, what we're giving up is so minute in compared to what we will gain from submitting our lives to Christ. It may be risky from our way of viewing it, but we got to find ourselves submitting, even as these wise men did. The angel of the Lord appeared to them and said, don't y'all go back home the way y'all came. Go home another way. And the Bible says they went another way. You got to find yourselves submitting to the Lord that we might become who he wants us to become. When it's all said and done, these wise men took this journey that they might find the baby Jesus. that they might worship him, that they might adore him, that they might honor him, because they recognized through their study that he truly was the Messiah, the Son of God, the one that God sent that he might save his people from their sins. Today, let's find ourselves being wise. There's a verse in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 25 that says, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him." I challenge you today, especially in light of the day that we are in, leading up to the day that we celebrate Christmas, the day that we honor the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, make it a special time to seek after the Lord. Seek to draw closer to him. Seek to get to know him better in a very real way. Seek to say, "I don't want to just go by what I heard. I want to seek to know that this is true for myself, that I too may share in the blessings that God has for me." God knows the plans that he's laid out for us, and many of us have never come to understand or partake of what God has for us because we have not sought after him. Today, let's be wise. Be wise that we might find ourselves seeking after him. Wise enough. Become wise enough. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for all things. We thank you because you're God, and you are not just God, but you are our God. Our God who loves us, who cares about us. The word teaches us that while we were still in our sins, while we were still busy doing whatever we were doing, totally disregarding you, you sent your son Jesus that he might be that perfect sacrifice for us, that he might come and live before us and be the example. And then on that appointed hour, give his life for us, hang on Calvary's cross, die, and then on the third day, rise again. And then not just did he rise with all power in his hand, but he's seated and ascended back into heaven and seated at your right hand, that there he might look out for us. Today, Father, in view of that, we ask that you forgive us. Forgive us, Father, for any sins that we have committed. We mess up. From time to time, we mess up. Sometimes we mess up, and we didn't realize that we messed up until it was too late. Lord, forgive us. Sometimes we messed up and we knew good and well what we was doing. We made a bad choice. Forgive us for our bad choice and our bad actions. Wash us clean and make us whole. Your word says when we confess to you our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Father, as you forgive us, allow us to forgive ourselves and move on in the strength and power of you and your word, that we can become who you want us to be. Just because we have done things don't mean we got to keep doing them. But in you, we can move on to greater and better in you as we seek after you. Thank you for sending a Messiah that we can seek after, and knowing that when we seek after him, we can find him. He is there to share with us in our lives that we might have the abundance that he provides. Today, Father, we need you to touch, heal, and deliver as only you can. Heal the sin sick. Heal the physically sick. Heal those that are emotionally sick. Those whose minds are all mixed up and messed up, and depression has set in, and suicide has set in, and thoughts of all of these harmful things has set. Rebuke all of that, God, according to your will and your wisdom. You have the power to do it. So do it as you will. Heal, and we don't care what the illness might be, even if it's COVID-19 and a vaccine has been dealt with, but it's not out yet, God, you can heal even when there is no vaccine. So touch and heal according to your will and your wisdom. Father, we see that many people are dying. Their lives are cut off because of this virus. We just need you to be strength to families everywhere in their hours of bereavement. Oh, God, feel the place that is missing in their hearts, the longing, the tears that are there. Dry them, Father, as only you can. Now today, as we seek after Jesus, as we seek after the Son that you have sent, the one that you have sent that he would save us from our sins. Let us find a Savior. Let us find a Redeemer. Let us find an agent of change. Let us find one that will help us, one that will empower us, one that will lead us on to victory in you, that we might live our lives in the middle of chaos. We can be in the world, but not of the world. We can share in the joy and the peace and the love that only you, Father God, can provide. Grant all of this according to your will and your wisdom. We pray for our politicians, our leaders everywhere. God, touch their minds and their hearts that they will do what is right by the people. Father, you get the glory in all things. We don't care what goes on. We want you to be glorified. Knowing that, God, if you're glorified, you'll do what needs to be done for us. We magnify you. We praise your name. We know that you are the only wise God and there is none beside you nowhere. We don't even waste time searching all over to find somebody that can compare to you because we know there is none. So we spend our time honoring you and reverencing you and worshiping you. Be glorified in our living. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, God. Amen. Now today you go and live in victory. We love you with the love of Jesus. God bless you.